The Samaritan was willing to have his trip interrupted in order to offer aid to a needy, helpless man. He sacrificed his time. He put on hold whatever he was doing because he seen the man as more important than what he had to do. So when we show compassion and care to someone in need, it's going to require some action on our part. It's going to require some commitment on our part. It's going to require us to go into action, to be hands and feet that God calls us to be.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached from Luke chapter 10 in his sermon titled, "Like a Good Neighbor, Our Savior Is There." And now, Brother Mark.
We are called by His name. And so as we look at all that God's doing, we've been preaching through the parables. And I jumped a few parables ahead because I wanted to get to this parable on this Sunday. And the parable that we're about to speak of is the parable of the Good Samaritan. I've entitled this message, "Like a Good Neighbor, Our Savior Is There." In Luke 10:25-37, if you'll open your Bibles and turn with me as we read about the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:25-37. The Bible says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your might, and with all yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied with this story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." Let us pray. Father God, I pray that you'd bless your word to our heart this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that your spirit would move in our hearts and lives. Lord, that you would give us a peace, that you would expel every fear, every anxiety. Lord, that you would bring us to the place where we just say, "Lord, you are all I need." And this morning, Lord, as we live in these perilous times, you are calling your people to be good neighbors. And Lord, I pray that we would do that very thing, that Lord, that we would be about your business and what you call us to do. And Lord, there are people that in the weeks ahead that you will place in our path. There are people in weeks ahead that will call us on the phone. There are people in weeks ahead that will contact us with social media. Lord, there are people in the weeks ahead that will be crying for help. And Lord, I pray that we would point them to you. For Lord, you are the great healer. Lord, you are sovereign. You are in control. Lord, there is nothing that gets by you. And Lord, you're still seated on the throne, high and lifted up. And Lord, we just recognize that this morning. And we say, no matter what this world does, you are everything we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is undoubtedly one of the most familiar and well-loved parables in the Bible. And this is a great Bible story, but it's more than that. It has relevance to today. We certainly live in the days when we need a good Samaritan, amen? And it's Christians more than anyone else that should live this out in their lives. Let's flesh out this parable a little bit. This lawyer was an expert in the law. And he asked Jesus a question, the Bible says, in order to test him. He says, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered and said, "What is written in the law? You're a lawyer. You know all about the law. You tell me what it says." And the lawyer replied, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you should love your neighbor as yourself." If you remember, that was the two commandments that Jesus said you could hang all the other commandments on. And so it is love that God calls us to more than anything else, that we should love one another, that we should love our neighbors, that we should love our enemies, that we should bless them that curse us and do good to them that use us, that we should be Jesus to all people. And even though we are not Jesus, we have the love of God in us. And God expects us to use that love to point people to Jesus. Jesus affirmed the lawyer. He said, "You have answered correctly, saying, 'Go and do this and you will live.'" But the lawyer wanted a little bit more. He still wanted to test Jesus some. And so in order to justify himself, the Bible says, he brings this question about who qualifies as my neighbor. So Jesus takes the lawyer's question and he tells this famous parable that looks deep in everybody's heart. He says, "This man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him, and they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." This is the famous Jericho Road. You know the story on the Jericho Road, there was room for just two, no more, no less, just Jesus and you. That means there was only room for one, because Jesus is walking in your footsteps. And so this was a really perilous road. This was a road where there was lots of places for robbers and dangerous things to happen. And this road dropped in altitude some 3,000 feet, and there were caves and rocky places, and travelers were continually in danger, which explains why this man was attacked. On the same day as the attack, two other men were also going down this road. The first one was a priest, and he served in the temple, offering sacrifices to the Lord. And when he saw the man lying in the road, he passed by on the other side, the Bible says. The next man was a Levite whose responsibility it was to take care of the temple. And he too saw the dying man, but he passed by also on the other side. Although both of these men were religious men, they didn't stop to help. Maybe they were too busy doing the Lord's work. Or maybe they just didn't want to be liable. Or maybe they thought this was a trick and someone was going to, whenever they went over to him, someone was going to jump out and get them. Or maybe they knew that it would require some commitment on their part. Whatever they thought, they just looked the other way and went around him and kept going. The next person to come down the road was a Samaritan on a journey. The Jews and Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. Yet when he saw the injured man, the Bible said he felt compassion in verse 33. He bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him, verse 34. This was awesome kindness, yet the Samaritan man did even more. On the next day, he took out some money and he gave it to the innkeeper, saying, "You take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I return, I will repay you." At the end of the story, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of the three proved to be the neighbor to the man who had been robbed? The lawyer had to admit that it was the Samaritan because he had shown mercy, and Jesus commanded the lawyer that we should do the same thing. He said, "Go and do the same thing." Our country today has no shortage of needy people, especially during this national emergency with this pandemic. People that have physical needs, people that have spiritual needs, people that are elderly and weak, and those with anxiety and fear. Now, I don't know if you're on social media or not, But this whole COVID-19 pandemic, as it unfolded, I've seen every need that I just mentioned text or talked about on Facebook or Twitter. And as this subject of text on Facebook and Twitter continues, people are truly seeking answers in need of help. We are God's people, so are we willing to be the people that help? The Christian life is not something we merely do on Sunday mornings when we come and go to church. The Christian life is something that we should be living out for the glory of God. Jesus said to the lawyer, "You be like the Good Samaritan." The Good Samaritan was a good neighbor. He was being a good neighbor in the struggle. Being a good neighbor is a struggle of your heart. Our earthly heart wants to do things for ourselves, but our spiritual heart wants to do things for others. We must look at how much we are like others instead of how much we are different from them. We cannot be a good neighbor and be prejudiced in any way. Likeness adds to ministry, but differences subtract from ministry. Every difference we see in another person helps us to justify in our own mind why we don't help. They got tattoos and I don't. They have earrings and I don't. They use bad language, and I don't. They drink, and I don't. They use drugs, and I don't. They hang with bad people, and I don't. They don't bathe, and I don't. I mean, I don't. We finally total the score, and we don't help because we justify in our own mind that we are way too different to be able to help these people. But when we look at the likeness of ourselves to them, we are all made in the image of God. We all need food, water, and clothing, and shelter. We are all sinners saved by grace. We all need Jesus every moment of every day. We could find ourselves in the same situation. We might be like them in need. And when we add up all the likenesses, all of a sudden we have compassion in our heart. Jesus calls us to place others ahead of ourselves. The most important things in life are the people that you will meet on the Jericho Road. What are the characteristics of the Good Samaritan? Well, first of all, we see that the Good Samaritan, he had spiritual eyes. Although the three men that physically saw the critically wounded man, only the Samaritan saw the man as someone in need. Before we can meet the needs of others, we must be able to see them as someone in need. Secondly, the Samaritan had a spiritual heart. The difference between the way the priest and the Levi saw the beaten man was the Samaritan saw him with compassion. When the Samaritan saw the helpless, suffering, and dying man, his heart went out to him. Even though he knew that pausing on this dangerous road could result in being attacked and robbed himself, his compassion overruled his caution. Instead of being preoccupied with his own safety, he focused on the suffering of another human being. Thirdly, he had spiritual hands. The Samaritan didn't just feel sorry for this poor man, because many times in life we see people, we have compassion, we feel sorry for them, but we have no action. But this Samaritan, he had spiritual hands. It says that he bandaged up his wounds and he poured oil and wine on them, and he placed him on his own animal and he took him to the inn. So he had action that went with his compassion. The Samaritan didn't leave him behind, but he lifted him on his donkey and took him to the inn and took care of him. The fourth thing that we see about the Samaritan was he had spiritual resources that he used. And since the Samaritan was on a journey, he needed to continue traveling. Even though the injured man needed time to recover, he stopped what he was doing and assisted the man. Instead of dropping him off and leaving, the Samaritan sacrificed his resource of time. And he spent time with the man in that first night in the inn, and he took care of him. And then he used his resource of money. And he used his money to pay an innkeeper to take care of this man. And he said, when I come back, if you've used any more than what I've paid for already, I will repay you. The Samaritan was willing to have his trip interrupted in order to offer aid to a needy, helpless man. He sacrificed his time. He put on hold whatever he was doing because he seen the man as more important than what he had to do. So when we show compassion and care to someone in need, it's going to require some action on our part. It's going to require some commitment on our part. It's going to require us to go into action, to be hands and feet that God calls us to be. What we see in the Good Samaritan is a genuine Christ-like attitude. Today, we don't lack opportunities to be Good Samaritans. Amen? But we must first see the needs of the people. We must feel compassion. We must be willing to be inconvenienced in order to give our time and resources to help. And as we allow the love of Jesus to flow through our hearts, we will understand more and more what it means to love our neighbor. In conclusion, as we look over the ways that God wants us to open ourselves to the needs around us, Which is the biggest struggle for us? When we see someone who needs help, what prompts us to act? What keeps you from helping? At the moment when it seems that your needs are more important than the other person's needs, and you have this heart battle going on, what is it in your heart that brings you to the place where you can put everything you want aside and do what other people need? It's the love of God that lives in us. And it's the Spirit that's working in us. And when we hear that voice in our heart that tells us that you should help, that you should say something, that you should do something, that you should be the hands and feet that God calls us to be, I pray that you would hear the voice of the Lord calling you and that you would be willing to lay down whatever you're doing, to sacrifice your time, to sacrifice your resources in order to help those who are calling out for help. I think we're going to see more and more people calling out for help in the days ahead. And as we see them, people, it's an opportunity for every one of us to reach out and say, I know a man that is able to help you. I know someone that's able to take all your problems, all your cares, all your worries, all your anxiety, all your fear away from you, and you will not have to struggle with it anymore, and will give you a blessed hope, a hope of life eternal with Jesus forever and with God in heaven. And with that blessed hope, there is nothing in this earth that will take that from you. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this time that we've had. I thank you that you love us and that you sacrificed your time, you sacrificed your resources, you sacrificed everything to die on the cross for us, that you loved us when we were your enemies. And Lord, in that great love, you said anyone that would believe that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, anyone that would say that I have sinned and that Jesus died for my sins and I ask him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Anyone that would say, I believe Jesus was God's son and that he died on the cross and God, that you raised him from the dead and he's alive. And anyone that would confess Jesus as Lord, the Bible says, will be saved and will have a blessed hope. Lord, I pray this morning as this message goes out to all the people that will hear it, that the truth of your word would go forth, that your Spirit would go forth. And Lord, as your truth and your Spirit goes forth, Lord, it always does a work. And Lord, I pray that work might be salvation, that people who hear this message would just pray the simple prayer and say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I want you to come in and forgive me, for I'm a sinner, and be Lord of my life. And Lord, you say every person that prays that prayer, you save them. And Lord, you're always faithful. You never went back on your word. You always keep your promises. And so Lord, I pray this morning as people pray that prayer all over this community, all over this nation, all over all the world. Whoever prays that prayer and they receive salvation, Lord, I just glorify your name because that's a miracle. And Lord, you're still performing miracles today. You're still working in the hearts and lives of people. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work. And Lord, I pray as believers, as we've heard this message today, Lord, that you would give us strength and courage that we might be good Samaritans, that we might be the people that you called us to be. And Lord, if we haven't been in the past, Lord, I pray that we would just repent. And Lord, I pray that in that repentance that you would empower us to have good ears that we might hear the people crying out, to have spiritual eyes that we might see their needs, Lord, to have the spiritual resources that you've blessed us with that we might be able to spring into action and help them, Lord, that we might go to them with a spiritual message. And that's the gospel. Lord, I thank you for loving us and dying for us. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do through this whole situation. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for being with us this morning in this live feed. I hope that this blesses you and that everybody's able to get on. And if you're not able to get on the live feed, please go to the website. We'll put it on the website. Also, the podcast will be there. So you have several resources that are available for you to watch and be part of what we're doing here at Calhoun Baptist Church in the ministry. So thank you again, and you all have a great Sunday. Oh, tonight at 6:30, we'll have a live feed for Celebrate Recovery, so be sure and tune in for that. Thank you.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.